And welcome to Hope Point Beach Church. My name is Jason. I have the honor and privilege to be the senior pastor here tonight. And so glad you guys came out. It's good to see familiar faces, new faces. And again, as I said before, it's good to be able to gather. We have so many reasons to give thanks. We really value you being here, and we value your presence here. And so in your worship folder, there is a connection card. If you could be so kind to fill it out, we'd love to recognize your presence with us this evening and that you were able to be with us. For guests with us, we especially appreciate it. It's our way to just connect, and hopefully we'd love to learn how you found out about it, what brought you here, and it'll be a way to for us to connect in a little bit. When you came in today, you also got like a memory card. We call it their memory cards with different verses. These are older ones that we've used before. We're not doing a refresher, but it's for later, so hold on to that. Don't lose that. If you do, we'll get you another one. Not a big deal. But as we come into this service and this time, it's a time of reflection, a time of remembering, and it's also a time that maybe, holidays do like two things, right? We mark things we value together, with celebration and things around what we value. But there's also another side of holidays is that sometimes not the best of us comes out during holidays. Have you noticed that? No? Sure. And so one of the things that it gives us is an illustration. It gives us maybe a teachable moment for what life, even everyday life, ought to be more like. And so as we continue our series in Galatians, we're coming up in this moment where Paul now turns a corner and he's really given us more direction. And I'm going to use Thanksgiving as the application, but the application is broader. It's all for life as we lean into this. So with that, why don't we rise and begin our worship together? And I want to set it with this reading from Psalms. It says, "Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all the earth. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come into his presence with singing. Know that the Lord, he is God. It is he who made us, and we are his. And we are his people, the sheep of his pasture. So we enter the gates with thanksgiving, his courts with praise, giving thanks to him, blessing his name. For the Lord is good. His steadfast love endures forever, and his faithfulness is to all generations." And so let us, as all generations gathered in the name of the Lord, give him praise. Amen? Amen.
Let the King of my heart be the mountain where I run, the fountain I drink from, oh, he is my song. Let the King of my heart be the shadow where I hide, the ransom for my life, oh, he is my song. You are good. Good, oh, you are good, good, oh, you are good, good, oh, you are good, good, oh. Let the King of the wind inside my sails, the anchor in my waves, oh, he is my song. Let the King of my heart be the fire inside my veins, the echo of my days, oh, he is my song. You are good, good. Never gonna let me down. You're never gonna let, never gonna let me down. You're never gonna let, never gonna let me down. You're never gonna let, never gonna let me down. You're never gonna let, never gonna let me down. You're never gonna let, never gonna let me down. You're never gonna let, never gonna let me down. You're never gonna let, never gonna let me down. You are good, good. Oh, you are good, good. Oh, you are good, good. Oh, you are good, good. You are good, good. Oh, 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 Heavenly Father, thank you so much. We are so grateful that we can taste of your goodness. That we rest in your arms and we know you are faithful. Lead us and guide us. Let your Holy Spirit guide us every day. You call me out upon the water, the great unknown, where feet may fail. And there I find you in the mystery, in oceans deep, my feet will stand. And I will call upon your name, keep my eyes above the waves. When oceans rise, my soul will rest in your embrace. For I am yours, and you are mine. Your grace abounds in deepest waters. Your sovereign hand will be my guide. Where feet may fear and fear surrounds me, you never fail and you won't stop now.
Hallelujah.
And I will call upon your name and keep my eyes above the waves. When oceans rise, my soul will rest in your embrace. For I am yours and you are mine.
Hallelujah.
Spirit, lead me where my trust is without borders. Let me walk upon the waters wherever you would call me. Take me deeper than my feet could ever wander, and my faith will be made stronger in the presence of my Savior. Spirit, lead me where my trust is without borders. Let me walk upon the waters wherever you would call me. Take me deeper than my feet could ever wander, and my faith will be made stronger in the presence of my Savior. Spirit, lead me where my trust is without borders. Let me walk upon the waters wherever you would call me. Take me deeper than my feet could ever wander, and my faith will be made stronger in the presence of my Savior. And I will call upon your name, yeah. And keep my eyes above the waves. When oceans rise, my soul will rest in your embrace, for I am yours, and you are mine. Oh, you are mine, and I am yours.
Thank you, Father. May those words of your Spirit that we are yours. What a privilege. I mean, not everybody born gets to call you Father. It's only those who've made your children through the Holy Spirit. And that wonderful gift that gives life and leads us through life and leads us into troubled waters. It never leaves us, never forsakes us. It's always there. And so, God, we give you thanks. For you don't let us drown. You're there to lift us up, to lead and guide. God, do that tonight. Lift us up. Give us above the waters in our heart. By the power of your Spirit, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. I love Thanksgiving. Anybody else love Thanksgiving? Woo! Yeah, give it up. Thanksgiving. So it's one of my favorite holidays. Especially since our family gathers, it's to me a gathering. It's much more relaxing than Christmas, and it's special to Christy and I. Because I'll give you a little insight. When I met her in college. And I had the opportunity to go home for Thanksgiving, and I didn't go home for Thanksgiving because I wanted to spend it with her staying at college in Cold Stuart, Nebraska. She said, I know you love me then when you gave up going home. And so we cooked our first Thanksgiving dinner at a friend's house, and we've been playing with recipes ever since, and it's a cool thing. But it's just that pausing. To take account of the blessings, even the hard things and the good things, but to celebrate God's provisions and God's presence and God's promises. And while there is this real fondness for the holidays and gathering, there is this kind of hard truth that sometimes gathering together with friends and family just isn't that simple. It doesn't always work that way, whether it's because there's been pain in the past, there's current conflicts that are going on, there are underground conflicts, or just the fact, you know, some people's personalities are hard, right? A little EGR, right? Extra grace required for you, the new, right? And then people start talking politics, or sometimes you get the family members and you go, I'm not even sure you're family. They have a total different orientation to life. And then sometimes the Thanksgiving gathering doesn't bring always out the best version of you. Instead of being there, enjoying everyone, loving, letting love abound and love cover a multitude of sins, as the Bible says, that we would just look over those shortcomings, especially this time, for the sake of the holiday for everybody, it just doesn't always work that way. And all of a sudden, this lesser version of you tends to come out. Blame it on the wine or the being tired or your patience wearing out. After all, you can only dance around some issues so long. You may snap back, make a backhanded comment, or give a look, and it just seems to start to break down. Now, possibly it might look a little something like this video on Thanksgiving. Let's look and see how this family
is. Here you go. Well, thank you.
Yes, please.
And what are we going to do with it?
You can put it on.
I think we should, let's say, grace.
I'm not going to say it.
Kevin?
I'm sorry, Grandpa, but I just don't get the point.
You don't got to say anything. But at least you can listen.
Stop telling me what to do, Brad.
You know, you can learn a lot from your older brother.
Can you please not compare Kevin and Brad for once?
Thank you, Bree.
You see, this is why Kevin has so many problems.
Oh, that's great, Mom. Just point out all his problems for everyone.
Well, it is not my fault that strangers are here. I tried to say family only this Thanksgiving.
That wasn't directed towards you, babe.
If you have something you want to say, Rebecca, go ahead and say it. I know you don't want me here. I'm the only one you didn't serve this bland turkey to. Should have let me cook.
Bland?
Let me handle this, sweetheart. I got this.
I was trying to, Harold, but clearly you're not defending me.
So you've been there? You maybe had some of those conversations or held some of those conversations, so you got to the car. We all start with these best intentions at Thanksgiving, and yet still it can be messed up. And nobody wants to kill the vibe of Thanksgiving, have that lesser version of themselves come forth, but it does. And if we're honest, it's not just Thanksgiving. It happens a lot. The struggle. We do the things we don't want to do. We say the things we don't want to say. We get angry. We get offended. We do things we regret. It's a struggle. And it's even a struggle with even the ones that we love the most and we want to be around the most with in our families, in our marriages. So not just why Thanksgiving, but this is all the time why we need to turn to God's Word. And today, in God's Word, the Apostle Paul, as I said, has been laying this huge foundation of grace and grace and grace and not be and be free from the law, free from religion and his relationship with God. And now he's saying in this relationship that you've been freed, now there is this empowerment that comes for us to live with God. And so if you want to look in your notes, we'll follow along. We pick up here in Galatians 5, verse 16. He says, "But I say, walk by the Spirit. And you will not gratify desires of the flesh, for the desires of the flesh are against the Spirit, and the desires of the Spirit are against the flesh, for those are opposed to each other to keep you from doing the things you want to do. But if you are led by the Spirit, you're not under the law. Now the works of the flesh are evident: sexual immorality, impurity, sensuality, idolatry, sorcery, enmity, strife, jealousy, fits of anger, rivalries, dissensions, divisions, envy, drunkenness, orgies, and things like these. I warn you, as I warned you before, that those who do such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, is joy, is peace and patience and kindness and goodness and faithfulness and gentleness, self-control. Against such things there is no law. And those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. If you live by the Spirit, let us also keep in step with the Spirit, and let us not become conceited, provoking one another, and envying one another." So you know it's A, what Paul is saying is understand there's a war of two forces inside of us. There's a war going on, and if you want to say where the war really is inside of us, I would say it's in our heart. There's a war going on in our heart. He says in verse 17 again, for the desires of the flesh are against the spirit. Desires of spirit are against the flesh. There's the war. They are opposed to each other to keep from doing the things you want to do. So number one, there's this war again. It's the sinful flesh, our sinful nature versus the Holy Spirit. This is the war that's happening. We have been brought saved by grace. God has given us this gift of the Holy Spirit, but our flesh is still not willing. Our flesh is still want to live on its own. And in fact, if you really want to think, define the way the flesh works in our culture a lot is, A, our sinful flesh has been translated into culture about being true to myself. I need to be true to myself, to my feelings, to who I think I am, regardless of the consequences of it. And I think that this true to myself kind of got into our culture back in the 80s. So if you can go back that far, if you're younger, maybe you don't know, you maybe you didn't experience this transition. But I remember watching talk shows with my parents. I grew up with a TV in every room. We were TV addicts. And so we always had the TV on. But I remember watching talk shows, and talk shows used to be pretty information, somewhat entertaining, very interesting. Or sometimes they were promotional, like somebody's trying to promote a movie or something like that. But like the people they had on talk shows, it was fun, it was worth getting into. And then there was this shift that talk shows started to become shock entertainment. Do you remember that? And so the guy who led that was Morton Downey Jr. Remember him? Oh, you do. Sinner. You watched that. No, it's kidding. Right? But he's the one that started like this shock that people came out and he tried to bring guests who would dislike each other and then push them to the point where they would get just violent after each other and be outbursts. And this was encouraged and to say, keep on doing this. And so that gave shows and gave room to Ricky Lake and, of course, the famous Jerry Springer, right? And it was like, you know, get all your feelings out because you're right. You need to be true to yourself. And it comes to this point in our culture where I have to be so true to myself and I'm entitled for that and I need to be free to express what I'm truly feeling and I can't deny what myself is feeling because what I feel is true and it doesn't matter. And so what the world has done is gotten to this point that saying even if it's being true to myself, which is that is sinful against God, that the world actually looks at sin as a way to freedom. To be true to yourself is to go with your feelings, even if they lead you down into sin because it's of self, and this is going to give you freedom. This is what Paul is talking about, the works of the flesh. He's talking about how we've been free in the spirit, and yet the works of flesh are evident, and yet we're evident in our world today too. Yet our world says, no, this is what's normal, and this is what's really to be liberated and to be free because you're being true to yourself. You're being true to your feelings. You are the one who decides what is right and wrong. And so the world hasn't really changed much. We still have the same laundry list of sins here. The flesh, that's sexual morality, impurity, sensuality, adultery, you know, selfish seeking, pleasure, sorcery, I'm the power, jealousy, fits of rage, dissensions, divisions. It really hasn't changed much, has it? In fact, if you look at that list, is that on the screen, verse 19? Yeah. And if you look at that list, and I ask you this question, the movies you watch, how much of that is on the movies? All of it. Okay, how about just TV, right? So our world uses sin and calls it entertainment. And part of the reason is because we can all relate to it. Because we all are struggling with that sinful flesh. And if we're honest about it, and we look at this list, It's not just the world. It's us. That list could be said about us. Jesus said, if you thought about committing adultery, you have committed adultery. But B, the Holy Spirit comes, and the Holy Spirit, B, produces abundant fruit. He says in verse 23, but the fruit of the Spirit. Notice he didn't say fruits. He said fruit. This is one fruit. We often been pictured with many fruits. It is one fruit, one Spirit, and this one Spirit manifests all these different things come from it. And so what does that mean? That means like when you were baptized or when you came to faith, God gave you his Holy Spirit. That's what brought you into faith. God initiated that. God saved you from your sinful flesh of death, and he gave you life through the Holy Spirit. And you received the whole Holy Spirit and the whole fruit of the Spirit, all of that. You have all of that in you. You have unlimited redemptive potential in you. We just don't always live by it. And so we're full of the Holy Spirit with all its gifts and power. Every Christ follower has the Spirit that will give, the Spirit with love and joy and peace and patience and kindness and goodness and faithfulness and gentleness and self-control. And he goes, against these, there's no law. There's no limit. These you can have an abundance and should. There's an old Pentecostal saying, find the spout where the glory comes out and get under it. And the idea is like whenever God is moving, he's pouring out his Spirit like a revival, then you need to run to that because you don't have the Spirit and you got to run and catch it. And like it's something that God just pours outside of you, and you have to try to always kind of take in. And while there's maybe a little bit of truth that we get fed through the Holy Spirit, but there's this all this reality that Paul has been expressing through this whole time is that you already have this gift. You have the full gift of the Holy Spirit. You don't have to try to dance around and shout and scream for the Holy Spirit to move and to be in you. He is already in you. You cannot, in a sense, have any more of the Holy Spirit than what you have right now. So then what's the problem here? Why is there a problem? I don't feel it. I don't live by it. Well, let me try to illustrate that. So your heart is like a sponge. And what you put around your heart and in your heart, you take in. And so, if you have the Holy Spirit and you take in the Holy Spirit, then when life squeezes you and things happen in life, guess what comes out of you? The Holy Spirit. What comes out of you is love, joy, peace, and patience, and kindness, and self-control. But if you allowed your heart to be absorbed by your sinful nature, then when life squeezes or people press in, what's going to come out of you? Anger, jealousy, lust, and all those things. So when we have this challenge in our hearts of which one is our heart absorbing? Which one is our heart filled with? And we just said our heart, our life is filled with a lot of this and our entertainment. And so what I think the Christian life often looks like, it's this, ooh, nice. Good, this clean water. But I think we often look like this. Amen. Thank you. Right? We're asking for the Holy Spirit to come out of us, but the problem is we're soaking so much other stuff in, it's so tainted. It's still colored. And what Paul warns us about in this journey of it, what does he say? He says, and see, the works of the flesh are dangerous to our souls. He says, look, I warn you. Verse 21, he says, I warn you as I warned you before, and this is a constant warning, that those who do such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. Paul is saying that there's some serious consequences to living his flesh and allowing his flesh to get into our hearts. Because what do we see? If I take the sponge, and it was even the Holy Spirit, and I drop it in here, what happens? It gets overcome. And you can even recognize the Holy Spirit in it. See, what happens with sin brings separation to our relationship. Sin interrupts our faith life. Sin blocks out the Holy Spirit. And so we're no longer walking with the Spirit. We're no longer in control with the Spirit of God. We're allowing our flesh to lead us and control us. And the works of the flesh are evil. They don't free us. They lead us to more and more bondage because we get addicted to it. Because just like this is soda up here, this is root beer. Tastes pretty good. It is, but there's sugar, there's sweetness, there's a draw to it. See, I don't know if it's probably somewhere later, but, you know, it's interesting. The only thing different between an addict and someone who's not an addict is an addict is able to say no. I mean, a non-addict is able to say no and stop. If we start absorbing more and more sin in our heart, this is the warning. Like, we got to take sin seriously. Because if we just let it sit there and get in our heart, it takes away the Spirit. When we talk about people drifting away from the Lord, you don't drift. You let your heart be absorbed by everything else. And so Paul is warning us. He's saying, look, there is consequences to sin. And especially a sexual sin that entangles us emotionally with others without the covenant and blessing of the Lord. And that is because it's of the flesh and not just the heart, a whole body. And it's going to pull a greater pull away. So how do we avoid living by the sinful flesh, making a disaster out of Thanksgiving or our life? How do we avoid that? And number one is, it's not by willpower or striving or just being me, living in the me of me. I should have wrote the answer. It's by the power of the Holy Spirit. It's a simple answer, but it is. Because the Holy Spirit has set us free from our sinful nature and desires. So the Holy Spirit, actually what it does, it says, look, you have a choice of where you can put your heart. You can allow your heart to be controlled by its own desires and lusts and passions, and the world would agree with you, and you'll feel great with the world and comfortable, and you can absorb all that up, or you can say, no, this is not where I belong. I want to be absorbed, and I want to be filled with the Holy Spirit. And I want this to control my life. I want this to fill me. And the reality, right? So what the Holy Spirit is, as we grow, what are we doing really when we grow? We're putting ourselves in this environment. But now, you know, the water's not clean, right? It's grossly watered down Dr. Pepper, right? Yeah, you probably don't want to drink that. But what does it do? What is it doing? None of us are pure water. But what is that? It's less of the sinful nature. See, what happens is when we allow our heart to be filled with the Spirit, what comes out, yeah, is the Holy Spirit, and it does have a little bit of coloring because I'm still a sinner. I'm still a broken person, not holy, but that sin, that sinful nature has been drowned out. Those voices, those temptations, don't take control of me. Don't take me captive. See, if you really want to give your kids a choice in life, to follow Jesus or not, you can't say, well, just live in the world and figure it out and maybe you'll choose God. They don't have a choice. You got to give them the water, the Spirit, and so they can have a choice. And so God has given you this choice. You're not powerless. In 1 Corinthians 10:13, what does he say? He says, no temptation is overtaking you that is not common to man. Notice we all have the same temptations. This is just the way of life. But God is faithful, and he will not let you be tempted beyond your ability. But with the temptation, he will also provide a way of escape that you may be able to endure it. Why is a temptation not beyond your ability? Who's in your heart? Holy Spirit. And even just a little bit there, the Holy Spirit's still there. And when you turn and call upon him, he will give you the ability to get beyond the temptation. But you need to choose the Holy Spirit for that to happen. And the way to escape is not necessarily there's a doorway to run out of. There's a God to run to that's with you, that will lead you and guide you out of it. See, how do we do it by the Holy Spirit is to make intentional decisions. And intentional decisions, to die to self. Paul says, and those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with his passions and desires. See, Paul is saying, look, this evil is not something you play with. These temptations is not something that you keep exposing yourself to and just consuming. They need to be crucified. They need to be intentionally attacked. Because they are a poison, they are dangerous, they are not to be tolerated like we're told. Our cultures learn to just be silent and tolerate that which is sinful. And we put it around ourselves and we're putting it near our hearts. And it's no wonder the church, the Christians are like, well, I guess it's not so bad because I love that person. I don't want to offend them. I don't want to lose that relationship. So I'm just going to tolerate all that. No, we're supposed to love the saint and hate the sinner, right? Because what happens is the same thing that like happened, and I was joking about it because I kept going back to dessert table. Maybe I just walk around. And if you ever don't, you like walk around and you'll just look at it again. Can I afford those calories? Was that really that good? Was that good? Oh man, that was really good. No, I should get away. I should go away. But it's still out. So we're like vultures just circling the table, trying to, how we can justify this. How can we work? It looks good. Man, that was really pleasurable. I really enjoyed that. It won't really hurt. It's not even, you know. And so we just get around it and move around it over and over again until we kind of convince ourselves just a little bit, a little taste. And I don't know. I can't just do that because I don't usually can turn it off. And we look at temptation and we go, man, I am so weak. This temptation's so hard. I can never have self-control. Could it be the possibility that your heart's more in here than your heart's in here? We feel like we have no choice. We play the victim when we have the choice and the power of the Holy Spirit. We're not just victims. We're not helpless. God has given us a power to say no. A power to choose him. And this is why we need the word of God. Jesus said he's the way, the truth, and the... Do you want more life? Ready to go, Roy. Absolutely you want more life. But what's the way to life? Through the word. Through the truth. It is a painful thing. Jesus said, I am what? I am the vine, you are the branches. And if you don't bear fruit, what? He cuts you. And he takes your dead branches and he burns them. Why? Because God loves his children. And we know how he loves us because he disciplines us. And he wants to cut the dead things out of our lives. He wants to bring that word of God. He wants to take that sin away. And so when he brings the word of God, the Holy Spirit, we are now receiving it in our hearts. And we don't have all these dead branches of sin that are keeping us from absorbing God's Holy Spirit in us. It's our sinful flesh and the stuff we brace in our heart that keeps the Spirit from manifesting in us. We have to choose it. We have to apply it. Jesus, when he gave his command to his disciples, right? He said, all authority in heaven and earth has been given unto me for you to go and make disciples. And you go and make disciples in my name, baptize them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them everything they should know. Is that what he said? Did he say that? I can't hear you. He said what? Teach them to obey all my commands. Teach them to obey. What does that mean? That means that it's not a test at heaven of how much you know. Jesus gave his disciples authority to teach us how to live his word. So to be a disciple, you might want to write this down. To be a disciple is to know the words of Jesus and live the ways of Jesus. Not just know. It is to live. He said, obey my commands. That means there's an expectation for us to live. And Paul is saying, if you look at Jesus, look at the ways that Jesus lived, he lived in the spirit. He didn't live in the flesh. And this is what we're called to do. And he was crucified, he died and was buried and gave victory. And the victory is not just victory over death. It's the victory in your heart over sin. But for you to get this victory, you have to die. You got to crucify it. You got to say, I have sin. I have an issue. It needs to be nailed. For the truth to lead our lives, we first must die and die to self. John says in John 12:24, he says this. I don't think I got it. Truly, truly, I say to you, unless a grain of wheat falls onto the earth and dies, it remains alone. But when it dies, it bears much fruit. Fruit. Am I just triggering your phone with every scripture verse to go? I got an apple preacher over here. I don't know. But what is fruit? It's okay. What is fruit? Fruit is the Spirit. It's that love, joy, peace, patience, kindness. It's everything we want and love to have in our life, in our family. Let's be honest, though. It's not easy. It's not always easy. It's kind of like working out. It's hard to want to crucify. It's hard to want to do the work. But it's what we have to do. We have to intentionally decide to die to self. And then B, when we do that, we can follow the Spirit. He says in verse 16, but I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify desires of the flesh. Did you hear the promise in there? If we crucify the flesh, he starts with, this is what I want you to do. Then he tells us how, but he gives us a promise here. If you're walking by the Spirit, you won't want to gratify the desires of the flesh. Why? It's real simple. This stuff isn't in your heart anymore. And when you're following Jesus, you don't have desires. When you have the Holy Spirit in your heart, and the Holy Spirit is leading your heart, you don't have the desires for the world. In fact, you have just the opposite. There's a quote that I thought was really true. When you are worshiping God, it's really impossible to sin. And when you're totally focused on God, and like the rest of the world has melted away, which is hard for us to do, like how can you sin? Because your spirit is set on him. And this is what Paul is saying. You got to make this an intentional focus on the Holy Spirit. This is what the Israelites did.
The Israelites were saved from the Egyptians. And as they followed God in the desert, what did they have? They had a pillar of fire, right? And a cloud. What was that? The cloud was covering in the desert from the day heat. But the cloud led them. The cloud was the Holy Spirit. It was the presence of God. And it was provision and protection. And then they had the fire to keep them in the presence and their protection and have warmth at night when there was no sun. And so what they were learning to do is walk with God. In the Old Testament, it says this several times. It says, don't fall behind. Don't go to the left. Don't go to the right. Yeah, Old Testament believed in dancing. And stay in step with the Lord. In the New Testament, it's the Spirit. But that was a visual of how we were supposed to live and how we are to live. That we stay in step. We want to stay under that protection. We want to stay in where he's leading and guiding and move us. And if that is a call, as we read sang in that song, to walk on waters, to do things that's out of our comfort zone like the Israelites do. I mean, they want to go to their pots of honey, not follow to the promised land because they couldn't quite really believe it. And God just said, just trust me and follow me. And this is the same invitation that Paul is giving to you and I. It's to say, stop letting your heart be full of this. Trust me, I am good. My love, my joy, the fruit, the Spirit is good. It's really what you want. It's sweeter than this. You don't know it yet, but let it fill your heart. And you'll see how sweet it is. And when life squeezes, you won't come out with all that ugliness. You'll come out with sweetness. And people will see something greater than you that's in you, and it's me. Paul says in Galatians 2:20, he says, I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. And the life I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. When not only will you have your best version of you show up, but it's Christ's love. And when you grow in that love and you experience that love, you can't help but to grow in gratitude and want more because Christ is with you. And I pray he be with you. Amen?
Amen.
And so today we have a little bit different way I want to end this time. And what I want you to do is take out that piece of paper you have.